Hello, everyone. We want to just welcome Willow Asser today to the podcast. So Willow is the author of series like The Single Dad Playbook, the Landmark series, and then the newest series, Book One, is just came out, Wendy Harbor series. You have a huge backlog.
Huge backlog.
Hi. Yeah, I've been doing this for a little while, so there are lots of books.
Yes.
And if you don't like one, you might like another.
So. We always say that, too. They're so, like, authors like you, I feel like you, like, Devaney Perry, Julianne, like, just massive backlogs that it's like, don't, if you read one and you don't like it, there is something for you. There's so many other options. Like, don't let one book deter you, but.
Thank you for that, because, yeah.
Yeah.
You always gotta give me a try, which like begs to also, I say this before all the time, and Teresa knows, like your brains are something like truly unique to me. Like, how do you come up with all those stories? Like, I feel like maybe I could like come up with a premise for one, right? But like that's it. It's maybe a smidgen idea, and then it's gone for forever. It's never gonna be here again. But like, you could just like do. Is it worldly inspiration? Is it daily inspiration? Is there anything that is a little bit more self-reflective? I mean, how do you keep driving such enjoyable and captivating reads?
Well, thank you for saying they're enjoyable and captivating. That's what we want to hear. Well, I think probably, and maybe not every writer, but a lot that I know have ADHD, and there's just always too much going on. Let's just get that out of the way right there. There's just always too much. Some of them have been, you know, true. Like my first book, True Love Story, there's a lot of my story and my husband's story in that. So I like to pull things in when I can. But I mean, after this many books, there's only so much you can do with that. So yeah, everything just kind of inspired me. So.
Oh,
and
so
I like
funny.
To write different things. The last few years, I've stayed in kind of this small town sports sometimes lane, and my older books are a little more angsty and different. So, yeah.
So do you find that like you kind of fall into like the ebbs and flows of certain, I don't want to say like niches, but certain, I mean, you stick within a romance genre, but you're kind of like, to your point, like a little bit more exotic over here, you like small town romance over there. Like, do you find that you gravitate towards different, I guess you can use the word tropes, if you will, to kind of, it's just something you just tend to stick to after a while. Like, but then you're like, I'm done with that. Let me migrate to something a little different.
I definitely was that way in the beginning, and I resisted writing series for so long because I didn't stick with the same, because I always wanted to write what I wanted to write, and I've kind of let some of that go, and got a son. I've got to get through college. It's like, okay, I've got to be a little more deliberate here.
So what did you want me to put down on paper this time?
Exactly.
We always say like we're mood readers, right? Mm-hmm. So like there could be a book. It's like wrong time. I picked up a book the other day and I was like, I know I'm going to love this, but like, it's just not for me now. So I'm going to put it down until it speaks to me. Do you ever feel like you're writing something and you're like, I want this to write the story, but something else is speaking to me that I have to get down first?
Yes. Yes. And it's so hard with deadlines. Like, I used to be able to follow that trail a little more, and now I can't as much.
Right.
Or I have to write two things at one time, which...
Oh, geez.
Sometimes happens.
I feel like that can get confusing. You're like, did I write that in this book? Or is it in the, or is that like something that's going on in the other one?
Yes. Yeah. It helps if they're way different
genres.
Not even tropes, but yeah, genres. And yeah.
That makes sense.
It's not.
Where'd you gain your inspiration? I mean, it takes place in Minnesota, which you're from St. Paul, correct?
Live there. Yeah. I grew up in California, but my husband is from here. And so when I moved here, it was such a culture shock.
I was going to say, how the heck did he get you there?
I know. And my parents are from the South. So I've I've kind of lived all over.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, it's been, but the people here are so, so great. And so any complaints I've had about weather or any other things, it's like, but the people make up for it. And
yeah.
So okay. I wanted to write a little love note to Minnesota.
Like a love story to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's sweet.
It's done me well.
I will say I've been to Minnesota once. I ran the, it just happened, but this was years ago, the Twin Cities. But I did the 10-mile race from, I think it's, I forget where it starts, Minneapolis, and I think you end in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, it's a beautiful, there's some beautiful areas. I mean, there's beautiful areas anywhere, right? But like such charming little pockets. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's I was like, okay, Minnesota.
Yeah. The only downside is the winter lasts forever, but it's amazing in the spring and summer and fall. So,
yeah, and I think like you did a great job of like kind of conveying that in this story.
Oh, good.
Which like I'm assuming that you know the brothers are going to get individual books that's kind of what we're moving towards.
Yes.
And you mentioned the bad winters. We know that Tully plays hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that we'll probably get into like that for his story.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you have, I guess, like, do you know who's getting what books when? Or are you kind of like going to feel it out as the stories go?
No, they're already. So book two is Camden.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already done with his.
Oh, wow.
His
wow.
Already, like, And so then the next one is Dylan after that, the youngest, and then Tully and then Noah.
Okay.
I'm excited to see. So I guess then in that like retrospect, so you already have them planned out. So do you know like who the love interests are and like what like kind of like themes are going to be put into each book as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to try to line that all out before I start a series when I'm thinking mm-hmm. about it, coming up with the names and the ages and the tropes and all the things. I mean, some things kind of change and are surprises, but those key elements are pretty much the same.
Yeah. So I guess that answers, I always ask like, you know, authors, the writing process, because some authors are just like, oh, I just know I want to write a book about these two people, and then I kind of see where it takes me. And some authors like really outline everything. So it sounds like you are like, you've constructed an outline, and like things might change or pop up, but for the most part, you know exactly who it's about, what order it's going in, and kind of like the big points that are going to happen to get you
the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more of a planter, but I do have the general,
I like that word.
Yeah.
You know, the big points and and then the fun little things that surprise me along the way are good to keep me interested. So
that's pretty cool. So I mean, I found your writing to be like, I'm gonna use the word lyrical, like I have no words on a Monday, but the minute I started, I can kind of already start, like, it was like painting a picture in my head, right? Like it was very cinematic to me. And like, it was very vivid in my mind. Like, I feel like I was there. I was walking through town.
Nice.
So I guess, you know, when you started this whole concept for this series, like what were the themes that you were most interested in exploring across the series? You know, the dad does have cancer. And maybe some of like the messaging for the, what you wanted your readers to take away from at least book one and to kind of carry through the rest of the series.
A strong theme that I carry through pretty much any book I write is found family. I think probably because I did move a lot growing up, and then I ended up here where I didn't know anyone except my husband. And so, found family has been very important in my life. So that's always kind of a given that's going to be in there. But just with.
Did you lose her?
Okay.
Me?
No, it was me. I'm sorry. My alarm to not forget to come on here. I think I didn't turn it off all the way. I'm so sorry. But yeah, just. With this family, I really wanted to convey that they're close And yet they've all kind of gone their own way and gotten so busy with their own careers, and they still love each other so mm-hmm. much, but it kind of takes what's happening with their dad to wake them up a little bit and kind of embrace the family life.
Yeah. And that's so just normal life anyway, right? Like mm-hmm. you have siblings and you grow up together under one roof, and all of a sudden life starts to happen, mm-hmm. college, jobs, meeting other people, spouses mm-hmm. and all that fun stuff. But it's so hard to always get everyone together. And I laugh because we just tried to do a family vacation this past weekend, and my family unfortunately has this theme where there's like a natural disaster or the pandemic that occurs. Like we were in Germany in 2020 when closing the border. Oh, so we were 48 hours in Germany and we were just 48 hours down the shore. And I was like, well, at least it gets me downgraded from COVID to like a nor'easter. So we were trying to avoid flooding. But it really is so hard to lock anyone in to get to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's true. So I feel like more times than not, it's something a little bit more tragic that brings them all together. Mm-hmm. But I will say I really enjoyed that with you, because I feel like a lot of times in some romance books, you get, you know, a dead parent, like bad blood between family members. Yeah. I feel like there's always a typical like family issue, and like, it's nice to read about a story where the family is close and they're texting and they're still, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, it's interesting when you had them all in the same room and the dad's asking, can anyone stick around? Everyone's like, I got to get back to this and I got to get back to that. Yeah. And then, you know, they find out what's really going on. And then it's like, everything drops.
We're here.
Which is here like, we are. That's what makes a family. I mean, like everybody has things going on. My brother lives down in Florida now. He was being a snowbird, so he was like in New York half the year and Florida half the year. They've kind of just been in Florida now because the weather's like a lot better at this point. But he was up this weekend, so like it was like okay, making plans, changing plans, trying to get, you know, the family together to all kind of be there for him. So I feel like it's like really relatable, but then at the same time it's like, you know, it does. I feel like the greater family, or at least, you know, this happens all the time where a tragedy or something has to kind of come in. Everybody loves each other and they want to be there, right. But your priorities change.
Yes.
When something exactly. like that happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I even liked how with the, and I feel like this is also just because of our ages, like, right, T? Like, I feel like we say this a lot too. Like, I love when we get a more mature reads, like even though there's the issue with like the family feud, right? Mm-hmm. And you get glimpses of Bruce being there, kind of the animosity between everyone, but like the parents, Milo's parents handle it so well with, you know, with bringing her in and kind of saying like, nope, like we have no beef with her, like it's right. this is outside of your relationship. And it's nice to see, again, I love that the authors deliver all sorts of things, right? So everyone can relate to something. I think that's so important. But it is nice to kind of come to this too, because this is relatable also, right? Like it's not just giving, well, this isn't unrealistic. No, it's very realistic. Right. This, you know, this is normal life. So it was nice to even see like for the problems, they were handled in a mature adult fashion, and everyone kind of pack away of everything of like, this has nothing to do mm-hmm. with anybody else besides us. And like, we're going to let our kids kind of flow through and do what they want and be together. Right. And we're not going to like really touch that. It was nice to read that through.
There's going to be drama and, you know, but I do love every now and then. And I actually, the Single Dad Playbook series too, the conflict felt similar to what you're saying. Like it just feels like realistic conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are going to be the books that have a crazy parent or, you know, ex that, is terrifying because that's realistic too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And also just really fun to read too. Like sometimes I'm 100%. I'm like craving the drama. Like,
like something so unhinged.
Yeah. Drama in my real life, no thank you, but I love it on TV. I love it in my books.
Yeah. So there will come a book mini. Mm-hmm. But I do every now and then it's just like it needs to be this just would be normal for this. And that's good too. Yeah.
Is crazy. I'm going to call him Crazy Uncle Bruce. Have we seen like the last of him, or like, is he going to keep popping up?
He will.
He's, I figured.
And it's like that itch that just won't go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I assume we will obviously get more of Ava. So I really like loved how that was handled, that situation. Yeah. I was a little worried. I'm like, oh my God, did Dad have an affair?
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't see you writing that because I was like, there's just like no way. But I did love how, I mean, we just talked about the family, but how they all like came together and were like, okay, we're not going to hold this against her. Like, we want to develop a relationship with her. And I loved her at the end, bringing Goldie the letters and like letting her read them and, you know, kind of bridging that gap. So I know we're obviously getting the brothers. Are we going to see Ava maybe get her own love story eventually one day?
Yeah, I thought about giving her a book, but that would mean 6 books.
Yeah.
And I think instead I'm just going to show along the way.
Okay.
What happens with her, because she's going to be in it throughout the series too.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
That's a fun way to do that though, right? Like instead of a whole other book, like an underarching line to cut, like you don't need to read, but it's nice to kind of connect the dots to see how she also then progresses and moves on from everything. That's so nice.
She needs her happiness too.
Yeah, she does. Absolutely.
I know. I felt so bad for her. I mean, the part when she like, when she brings the gasoline out and she's like committing arson. I was like,
right.
I was like, call the cops.
I know. I was getting messages like, I hate her. I'm like, she's going through it.
Immediately. Okay. A little crazy. Like we said, I love it though. I love a crazy character. I love some drama. Nothing bad happened. It was fine. She immediately knew she did something wrong.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. She reined it in when she needed to.
Exactly.
Almost too late, but.
Thank God Milo was there.
Yeah.
And that was the thing too. Like, so after that scene, right? So we have now Goldie goes, she kind of like comes in at the tail end of what just happened. She immediately thinks that Milo knew all along that Ava was her sister. And I love that Milo was like, he didn't hold it against her. Because I feel like sometimes in books too, you get, you know, if there's a miscommunication, then like he could have been like, what, you don't trust me? And it could have been this whole thing. But
mad at me. I'm going to be mad at you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think he understood her so well at this point and like understood her past relationships and her trust issues that he was like, I'm gonna let you go and like have this work through your emotions, but I'm still here. So like when you're ready to talk to me, I'm here. And I appreciated that. Like, I mean, you said the maturity, but the maturity of that conversation and his maturity like at that point, because I don't think I would have been that mature.
No.
Like,
I was trying to fight him. I thought he did good there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also think like you're building up with that too with their relationship. Like they fell fairly quickly after they got past their, like there was that attraction, but then once they were in it, they were in it. So I think it does speak to the fact that like that's how they kind of went trajectory wise, but they were also mature enough to realize like Goldie just needs to do what Goldie needs to do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be here when she's ready to like
all her own songs. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a really strong character.
Yes.
Do you find it more difficult to write like a female main character? I mean, I assume it just depends on the character, but do you find it more difficult to get in the head of like one character versus the other? I guess in this book, like, did you struggle more with like writing like Milo's POV versus Goldie's?
Oh, that's a hard one. I don't know. They, with their banter, it was like, it was like they played off of each other.
Yeah.
I felt like I was a bystander at times because it was just like, they're just going. And so I didn't with them. I have other times had difficulty, and it's hard sometimes to even pinpoint what it is. Sometimes if the character has been one of those broody ones who hasn't said anything much, like, okay, in Wicked Love, that character that was the fourth book in the series, throughout he's the quiet, you never know what he's thinking. So it was both fun and challenging to be like, well, this is what he's really
holding at all the
time. Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. But that was a challenge kind of to get there and figure out what he was all about.
Right.
So, yeah.
And like but you mentioned two. The banter, which was great. I did a hybrid. So I was like reading it and then I was also listening to the audiobook, which was a duet. And like Andy and Christian are just like amazing narrators. It was just like so well done. And I think they played really well off of each other. How involved are you in like selecting a narrator for a book? Or is that something that's kind of like out of your hands?
So in the past, it was out of my hands.
Okay.
And then with starting with, well, I kind of tried to, like with Landmark Mountain, I had audio deals, so they would ask my dream team and then they just would never pick who I wanted.
Like, let me ask you, and then like, we're not going to get that.
Yeah. There were some good surprises, like, oh, I don't know about that person. That's great. But then starting Single Dad Playbook on, I've gotten to pick. Now, there have been a couple times where there's been a conflict with time schedule or whatever, and people have backed out. So I've not always had who I picked in the beginning, but it's always worked out so far. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I mean, I love an audio. I know Teresa does too, but I tend to try to gravitate more towards an audio.
Katie, I'm like pointing at you as if you're on my left. But
like
who? Katie will like just like wake up and like go run like 15 miles. So when she says she loves an audiobook, she like really means that.
I'm listening to an audiobook like 9 times out of 10 throughout the day. Like I was just on a 15 mile run and I was listening to an audiobook like the whole time. But I'm very, but it's amazing until you get so picky, right? Because like a good audio, a book could be great, right? Like, you have a good foundation. If what you eyeball read, you create the sounds in your head, right? Like you're creating the characters' voices. A lot of what it comes from it when you're reading on the page, but I feel like you can get those narrators where it's like, this is not how I would have spun this, or this is not how my brain, like I've done books where I've eyeball read the book and then I've listened to it like that. That is, those are two different books right there.
Yeah.
So I will say when I previewed that and I saw the narrators, and I was like, ugh, I don't even, quick buy, like I'm good. Here we go.
Yeah.
So
I was
kudos.
So I've had ones where I've cried when I've heard them. It's like, you're ruining my favorite character.
That's gotta be so hard though. Like, and when you don't have the control, I mean, like these are like, I always say, like, no matter what, at the end of the day, a book is someone's baby, right? Like you put your heart into soul something. So screw it if Joe Schmo down the street doesn't like it. Like at the end of the day, you have to respect the fact that that's the author's craft. Like they put their hard work into it. So like I'm so sorry for you if you ever have a narrator that doesn't do your book service, because it's, I can only imagine how that would make me feel. But I will say the narrator for this were superb.
I think it helped too that they with duet, because sometimes you don't know how they sound as a woman, as a child, and you're like, oh, I did not hear that in any of the, you know, samples.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. So the duet kind of takes that out of the equation, which is really helpful.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love a duet. I'll always, I know that they are a little bit harder to come by and like more expensive and like harder to produce and everything. So as a reader myself and as like a fan, thank you.
Anytime I tell Teresa, like, you should listen to audiobook, I have to leave like, this is a duet.
And I'm like, let's go.
So what are your personal favorite books or genres to read, and where do you draw? I think we already did the inspiration, so you can ignore me on that one. But I guess just do you find it hard to read the same genre that you write in, or can you kind of block that out also? And but nope, this is my story, and I can stick to my outline.
I can kind of block it out. If I'm struggling to write, then I put the reading down first, because it's like my mind might just be too full of all the other things. But sometimes it can be the opposite, where it's like I need to escape in another story and not think about mine for a while. I love thrillers. I love fantasy. I love romance. I love when any genre has romance in it. So mm-hmm. I'll read pretty much anything and prefer it to have a romance in there.
So. I hear you. What's a recent book you read that you gave 5 stars to?
What did I finish last?
Sorry, I'm like asking. I feel like that's a hard question when you're like on the spot.
Also, like Katie's eyes like lit up when you said like thriller, like, because that's all she's been really? Reading lately. So she was like,
she's like, wait, what? Yeah. Do we just become friends?
Yes, I do. Yes, please. I'm trying to think of the last thriller. I love Leanne Moriarty. Anything she writes, yeah. I will read it. Jocelyn Jackson.
Okay.
She's kind of off the beaten path, but I love her. She's just very unique and tells a great story. Yeah.
Awesome.
But I'm sorry, I can't think of the last
book. No, if you ask me right now what I'm even reading, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah, same. I do read so many that like they kind of do all, like, I don't remember the titles and sometimes.
No, I was gonna say Katie and I are the worst. Like we'll be talking about a book. I'll finish it. I'll close it. We'll like get on to record, and I'm like, what were the characters' names again? Like, obviously, because you know, I knew we were gonna be talking to you today, so I was like, okay, like I was like writing down the character names.
Goldie,
I will forget. It is, so, I don't know what it is. It's like the name. I always remember like the author I'm reading, but I'm like, what was the title of this book? What was the main character's name that I just spent 400 pages with? Like, also find that do you also like forget sometimes? You're like, wait, who was the main character of that book? Like, do you get them like crossed sometimes as the author? Well,
I was doing an interview last week and they were asking about my favorite scene that I, for this book. Mm-hmm. And I started to tell one for book two, and I was like,
oh, "Can we cut this?"
Scratch all of that. So yeah, it does, because I am mostly because of the audio. Mm-hmm. I'm far ahead, so
that's true.
No, I'm well into book three, and
so. I mean, it's, yeah, like we've just finished one. You're down the road already. Like, you put these guys probably at least somewhat out of your mind. Like, not fully, because it's, they carry through, but.
I remember the highlights, you know, and some of the, even the lines with the teasers, I'm like, oh my God, did I say that?
Well, Katie, before you got on, Willow and I were talking, and she was like, oh, this came at the perfect time because she was in the middle of writing a sex scene, and she was like, I needed a break. So, like, do you find sex scenes, like, more difficult to write?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
I don't know what that says about me and what's going on when I write them, but sometimes they're harder than others.
Yeah.
And this one I started yesterday, so, yeah, it's been a little doozy.
I just feel like, also, like, when you're getting descriptive, like, oh my God, my husband probably hate me a bit. Okay, I'm going to need you to act well when I'm, and just hold that position. Let me take, like, a mental image. I also don't know what that says about me, but, like, maybe, hold on, let's
like, do the physics of this work.
Yeah. Right? They're always happy to be research, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, especially those, I'm sure. Like, but it's true, because, like, sometimes I'm reading a book, like, and I feel like the one I just saw recently, and I was doom-scrolling TikTok the other night, was, like, smiling with their bottom teeth, and I'm 100% that person that's, like, like, I'm picking out, like, is this possible?
Yeah.
Those crack me up and make me stop and think when I'm writing,
right?
Yeah, because unless, like, if I'm reading it, I'm like, okay, yeah, makes sense. And then, like, you think about it and you're like, what does that even look like?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a narrator saying she hates it when authors write, pfft, you know, PFFT.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how do you say that? And I'm like, oh no, I'm never going to write that one again.
Give it to a New Jersey or New Yorker, because that's, I feel like that's a, like, a vocabulary word, like, pfft. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't
let
know
me know if you need me to insert my voice in there for you. I got the down quiet.
I need you bad. I can continue this word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She must be Italian.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my God. I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like.
I know, I'm looking at my notes.
I know, I had something on the tip of my tongue, yeah. And then I just got so distracted by the sex scene and everything. Okay, no, you did mention. I'm sorry. You did mention that in your last interview that they asked your favorite scene and you were giving a different scene. But what was your favorite scene to write in this book? Because now I am just curious.
Okay, well, I enjoyed all the banter scenes. Those were funny to me. I like the otter scene.
Oh my God. Yeah. Orion.
That was cute. Yeah.
I like them. Oh, and I like anything with the grandmothers.
Oh, they also had a grandma Nancy. So like, I was just really? Like, yeah.
Aw. Sweet.
I like how you brought them together. Like they're all so friendly. And again, I feel like that's not something common amongst like in-laws or, you know, grandmas in general. So like, it is nice to see like, oh, like look at them, like they're like, I don't know, yeah. I think they're like in cahoots in a corner somewhere. Oh,
right. Yeah, every now and then I will meet in-laws that love each other, and I do think that's so cool.
Yeah,
right,
you should all love each other.
It's, yeah,
there shouldn't be competition there.
Exactly
sometimes there is. When they caught Milo and Goldie in the car kissing, I was just like dying, because I could just like, I could like so vividly like see them,
yeah, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like laughing about it, like, but smiling and smirking a little bit. Yeah.
Trouble under these little innocent they're trouble.
So we always like to, like, you know, close out, I mean, we already asked you a book, so we're not going to do that, but when you are writing, are you like locked in your office? Do you have like music that you play or a snack that you need? Or I know some authors are like, oh, if I write 1,000 words, then I can get up and I can have like a bag of M&Ms. Like, what is your process?
They're such fun writers. I am so so I can't listen to music because I will start singing.
Yeah.
And if it is like instrumental, I'll hum and make up my own words. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't work. I'm trying to cut out sugar for the most part. I used to love like Twizzlers or like my Australian friends would send me I'm blanking. They're like Whoppers, but so much better.
I'm just like writing down like Whopper, like I'm gonna look it up.
The Australian version of a Whopper, and it's so much better.
Katie's like, googling right now. I could see like the reflection in her glasses. I saw like it like kind of like light up a little bit.
And Reese's Pieces, like I like.
Oh yeah, I
really do. So yeah. I found out I'm pre-diabetic.
Aussie beef.
You have to.
It's just coming up as an Aussie. You'll have to get back to us on this because it's just saying Aussie Whopper, but I don't think that's what it is.
Now we have her Google. Now we have Willow Google.
Yeah. The Australian equivalent.
Because I'm like,
what if the sound of her keyboard?
Yeah. It sounds like a keyboard.
Maltesers.
Maltesers.
Maltesers. Have you ever had
them? I have heard of them, but I've never had one.
They're so good.
Of course, I'm writing that down too. I'm like, So I'm going to need to order those.
She said, beans.
I'm also trying to cut down on sugar.
Pieces.
Yes. Or peanuttles. Have you ever had peanuttles?
No.
Oh my word. They're like peanuts with honey roasted, like toffee kind of crunch. Delicious. A delicious snack.
My mouth's watering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would fill a little bowl and just snack on those.
Ooh. Well, I mean, now that you're not having sugar, though, like, what are you substituting? She's just...
I haven't been. And I'm
poor Willow's like, no.
But they were going to be like, they seem really angry.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
Anger seeped in.
Paris is so enemies to lovers. Goldie is so mean. Oh now my god. Why.
I mean, she was strong-willed. So, oh, I mean, there you go.
Which I love that. Thank sassy God.
Because she needed some sugar.
Yeah, maybe.
I can't wait. You said book three is Dylan?
Yeah.
And Juju, mm-hmm. I assume.
Book two is Camden and Juju.
Oh, I meant, yeah.
Is it Eric? Was I like...
You're maybe thinking. You're theorizing incorrectly.
That was who I was thinking.
Yeah.
See, I'm excited for Juju.
I know. I love her.
It was a really fun one, too. Also very...
Yeah, I was going to say...
I can see the note based on her personality, especially, too.
Yeah.
You get a little glimpse of it. And I was just like, yes.
And they've got a history together, so you
find ooh.
How they got there, all that.
Okay.
I'm excited. We're very excited for the next book. Do you have a date for it?
I do.
Are you? I was like, you don't have to tell us if you're not allowed to yet.
It is January.
Oh, wow.
January 15th.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Not that far around the corner. I like it.
Yeah, about every 3 months or so.
Okay. Perfect.
That's awesome.
Well, now we know we have something to look forward to after the new year.
Yeah.
We want to wish you luck on finishing that sex scene.
Thank you. If I can get through this, it will be smooth rolling for
we're on the other side of it.
We want to thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Again, like, this book was so fun, and we're just so excited to see what else you got.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on. And good luck with this book, the future books.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you've been doing.
Okay.
It's all good stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks, Willow. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.